You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me. We started a series a few weeks ago. I didn't finish on the conference Sunday morning, so I finished up Wednesday night on something I'd started in the conference. But we started a series on Wednesday nights a few weeks ago on being conformed to His image. Woo! And, you know, that's what we're about. That's our purpose in life. If you want to know what it is, it's real simple. Man, what am I here for? Well, I can tell you one thing we're all here for. We're all here to represent Jesus Christ. And it's not about earning salvation. It's not about meriting what He did. It's not about paying back what He did. We heard a great message on that from Butch Bruton in the conference. We don't live holy to pay back anything. We'll never pay back what Jesus did. Are you kidding me? We don't live holy to earn anything. We live holy because that's what we're called to do. I mean, we're empowered to do. That's the good news. And that's something we've been talking about in this series, and I want to get back on it. I didn't get finished with it. I think a couple of weeks ago, the last message I taught along these lines was as Christ, that we ought to love as Christ. We ought to love our wives as Christ. We ought to receive people as Christ. We ought to be holy as He is holy as Christ. We ought to forgive as Christ. Amen. I think sometimes we get our thinking convoluted when we talk about living right, living holy. We think, oh man, that's law, that's works, let's don't do that, let's don't get under that. Well, yeah, it would be if you thought that's going to get you to heaven, but that's not what we're talking about. Are you with me? We're talking about living holy because the Lord is holy. I mean, how am I ever going to represent Jesus Christ if I don't love people? If I go around hating everybody, you know, I may be saved by grace and sins washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'd be a poor representative of Jesus Christ if I were just mean and hateful and, hello, just live like the devil, talk like the devil, walk like the devil, you know, represented the devil, and here I am a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ. Come on. I've been saved to do something better than that. I've been saved for a higher destiny than that, and so have you. We've been saved to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. He's picked us out to represent Him. Hallelujah. And it's not about impressing anybody. It's not about earning anything. It's not about meriting anything. It's about representing someone. You know, Jesus lived His whole life, and this is something we went over when we started the series. He lived His whole life representing the Father. He only said what He heard the Father say, only did what He saw the Father do, and He would say, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. The Father in Me does the works. Are you with me? And this is a theme that you see over and over and over. He was copying His Father. He declared His Father's name. That was His mission, was to declare His Father. And to share His glory and to declare His name. He came for this intent and for this purpose. So we see here our mission is to declare Jesus. That's what we're about. You know, we're not just about being saved. You know, we're about being an ambassador of Christ, a witness for Christ. Doesn't mean we're all going to be pastors, all going to be evangelists or teachers or, you know, prophets or apostles. Those are fivefold ministry. But it is about us representing the Lord Jesus. Excuse me, I'm having trouble with my internet on my iPad. Don't think I can't preach this without anything because I know all these scriptures. Wow. What is trying to do here? Okay. Scratch that. Take that out of the message. I just use it for credibility. I quote the verses, and this just looks like I'm using the Bible. But anyway, our destiny, if you want to turn somewhere, turn to Romans 8:29. This is our destiny, is to be conformed to the image of His Son. It's our destiny. Everybody say destiny. In fact, He's predestined us for that, destinated us to do that. Now, when I say predestination, it didn't mean He picked Joe to go to represent Jesus and He picked David to go to hell. And, come on. No, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what predestination is about. Predestination is God's eternal plan for us is to represent Jesus Christ. We have been foreordained and predestined to represent Jesus. That's His plan. Now, you can choose His plan or not. You can accept it or not, but that's already been predetermined, predestined. That's what the church is about. That's what Christians do. This is what our job is. We don't define our job description. God does. Amen? And we don't come up with a plan. He's already come up with one. From the foundation of the world, it's always been His plan. for us to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. So that's something that we're always, you know, we're always working on. You know that example of the sculptor and, you know, in a granite block of granite, and he's chiseling away at that block of granite, and this little kid comes in and says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm sculpting out a horse." And this little kid says, "Well, that don't look anything like a horse. That's just a big block of granite. How are you ever going to make that look like a horse?" He says, "It's real simple, son. I just chisel away everything that doesn't look like a horse. And when I get through, I got a horse." And that's kind of what we do. You know, it's not complicated. When you see these things crop up in your life, things that you do and say that you know Jesus wouldn't have done that. And, you know, you got the Holy Spirit. You know what's right and what's wrong. You got a conscience. And start chiseling that off. Amen. Don't condemn yourself. God doesn't condemn you. Don't hit yourself over the head. Don't talk about what a great sinner you are. You're not. You're a Christian. You're a believer. You're not a sinner. You're a saint. And the reason it's wrong to sin when you're a saint is because a sinner you ain't. Are you with me? And you're not being true to who you are. You're not being true to what God made you to be. You're not taking advantage of the power of God that's in you through the new birth. And God who walks in you and lives in you and the greater one that's in you, greater is he that's in you, he's in the world. That's the sad part about a Christian that sins. It's not that they're terrible, not that they're bad people, not that they're just, you know, we're not here to condemn. We're not saying that. We're saying you don't have to do that. That's the good news. You can live better than that. You can rise above that. You have the power of God now. Hallelujah. Woo. And what you could not do before, you can do now. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have power you didn't have before. You got someone living in you greater than whatever is going on in the world. Yeah. Are you out there? Yeah. And our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's our job. That's our destiny. Woo, you got to love it. Amen. Turn to, if you would, turn to 2 Peter. Hallelujah. Oh, man, good stuff. Good stuff. Let's talk about this representing Jesus Christ. You know, you can call it being conformed to his image. You can call it copying Jesus, imitating Christ. This is what Scripture tells us to do. You know, in Ephesians 5, 1, it says, "Be imitators of God as dear children." And 1 John 4, 17 tells us, "As he is, so are we in this world." Wow. And 2 Corinthians 5, 17, 18 tells us we're ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is a representative. That's what that is. So all of us have a purpose and a job, and it is to copy and represent and imitate and be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You know, and that's what church is all about. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. You know, that's how we're perfected, as it were, or matured is a better word than that. That's why all these ministries that God puts in a church, Ephesians 4:11 talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and, you know, it says for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come in the unity of faith to that perfect man, till we become like him. You know, all that you're learning in Christ, all that you're learning about faith, all you're learning about love, about forgiveness, the power of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all that we're learning is helping us be like Jesus. It's helping us represent Jesus. It's helping us give the world a clear picture of who God is. I'll tell you, the greatest thing God's got going, the greatest asset God has to representing Jesus is the church. The greatest problem God has is the church. Are you with me? Because the church many times is not doing their job. The church has many times misrepresented God. And often hear this, you know, when you mention church or you mention Christianity, you know, you'll hear things, "Oh, y'all are against this and y'all are against that and y'all are against this and y'all are against that." And it's sad that a community would know everything you're against, but they don't know what you're for. See, that's our fault. We need to be vocal about what we're for. We're for people. We're against sin, but we're not against the sinner. Hello. Even when I stand up and mention things that shouldn't be controversial, it's an amazing day and age we live in, where homosexuality even be an accepted lifestyle and people would get special privileges for being perverted in their sexual preferences. I mean, we've come a long way since when I was a kid, I can tell you that. But I never get up and say homosexuality is a sin without saying God is for the homosexual, in the sense that if they will repent and come to him, we'll take them. We're not against. We don't hate homosexuals. Adultery is a sin. It's bad stuff. Sin is terrible. Listen, if I'm a pastor and I love you and I'm a shepherd, I'm going to protect you from the wolves out there. I'm going to protect you from what's going to destroy your life and hurt you. And if I don't stand up and say something about sin, then I don't love you. But if I stand up and say it in a hateful way, if I say it in a mean way, and I say it in a, you know, you're going to burn in hell and go, you know, and just hang your feet over the flames and let you feel the heat. Ooh. Tell you how sorry and no good you are. Well, I've overstepped my boundaries. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to tell you there's hope for you, that you can come out of the prison. You can overcome sin. You can be set free. God will forgive you. You can turn. You can live right. Are you with me? So, you know, there's a right way and a wrong way to address that. And I think sometimes the church, you know, not all churches, but some churches, have been so vehemently against sin that they've included the sinner in the mix. Are you with me? And we've come off very, very hateful. There's two dangers, I think, in that. In this day and age, one of the huge dangers is that we never even mention sin. That's just something we don't touch. We don't ever talk about living together. We don't ever talk about homosexuality. Are you? We don't ever talk about that. Don't ever talk about drinking. You know, we don't ever want to talk about anything like that. Or smoking. You don't ever say anything about that. Listen, you're not going to hell for smoking. I understand that. Come on. In fact, you can go to heaven. You might get there quicker. Just a health thing. It's, you know, not a big thing. But, I mean, I don't smoke, you know. I don't condemn anybody that does. I know people, there's people in our church that do, and I'm believing with them, praying with them, they overcome that. But the danger, I think, sometimes we never mention anything about sin. Never even mention it at all because we don't want to offend anybody. And that's wrong because that means that we don't think it really has any consequences or effects on people's lives. It does. If you're going to live in hate, it's going to hurt you. The hater hurts. Are you with me? If you're going to live a promiscuous life and not be faithful to your wife and faithful to your husband, I'm going to tell you it's going to ruin your marriage. It's going to ruin your life. It's going to ruin your kids. Stay with me. And it's going to ruin your witness, and you're sure going to be a poor witness for Jesus Christ. Hello. That's what we're talking about, see? And so if I love, I'm going to say that. Anybody have kids? You know, you warn them about things, don't you? But you do it in love because you care. I mean, you love. So I think the church needs to dress sin, but dress it from the standpoint of we care. That's why we care too much to not mention it, to not talk about it, to not talk about the consequences of it, not tell you you can overcome it. Hallelujah. Woo! See, you can live like Jesus. You can be like Jesus. You can love like Jesus. You can forgive like Jesus. You can lay hands on a sick and they'll recover like Jesus. Hallelujah. You can. It's your destiny. You know, well, I sinned today. Well, join the club. We've all sinned. We're not saying no one sinned, but let's chisel that off. When it doesn't look like him, let's just chisel it off. No condemnation. We're not condemning, but there should be some conviction. You know, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Y'all follow me? Are you tracking with me? Okay. You know, condemn is just to give someone no hope. They're just worthless. They're hopeless. They're no good. God hates you and we hate you. You know, that's condemnation. Conviction is you sinned, repent now, turn around, change, confess it. God will forgive you. You can come out of that. You can rise above that. You can make it. With God, you can overcome anything. You don't have to live like that. See, conviction is I know it's wrong, but there is hope for me. There's encouragement for me. There's forgiveness for me. And there's restoration. Church is about forgiveness and restoration. It's not about condemnation. But it is about conviction. Well, I want to be convicted. I don't want to feel good about sin. How about you? Do you want to feel good about hating somebody? I don't. I don't want to feel good about that. I want to feel bad about that. And God, I do feel bad about it because I'm born again. Because I've been saved and God lives in me. And so when I do things wrong, I'm very much aware of it. In fact, I don't really need so much for you to tell me I'm doing wrong. Tell me how to get out of the wrong I'm in. Because I know I'm wrong. I just don't know how to get out of it. You know, when someone comes in, a lot of times, they don't know there's any hope. They don't know they can overcome. They don't know they can make it. We've got to tell people they can make it. Hallelujah. That God still loves them. They didn't like what they did, but just don't stop there. Let's take it further. Let's get past the sin, and let's start serving God. Hallelujah. We can overcome this stuff. We were born to serve God. We were born again to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. Y'all found 2 Peter 1? Let's talk a little bit about serving God. This will help you. This will bless you. Because you're not on your own. We're not under the law. Aren't you glad we're not under the law?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're under grace. Woo! Heard it said like this, the law is where you do all the work, and you give God all your work, and you get all the glory, and God receives from you, and you get all the glory. Grace is where God does all the work, and you receive from God, and God gets all the glory. That's really what we're talking about. Even serving God, or living for Jesus, or loving like Jesus, forgiving like Jesus, or doing miracles like Jesus is grace. It's God's power that we receive. It's Him moving through us. It's our trust and our faith in Him. It all comes down to trust. All comes down to faith. Woo! I'm not good enough to heal someone. I'm not good enough to love someone. I've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? And because of that, I can love. And because of that, I can forgive. Because of Him, what He did, I can live holy. Not better than anybody. I'm not Superman. You're not Superman, Superwoman. No, you're born again, new creature in Christ Jesus is who you are. And old things have passed away and all things become new. Woohoo!
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can do now what you could not do. You can serve God. It's not impossible. You can serve God where you could not serve Him before. You can overcome sin now where you could not before. And maybe even now that you can, you may not be aware of it, and that's why you're living in ignorance. And sometimes, I didn't say stupidity. Sometimes not knowing causes us a lot of pain. Ignorance is not bliss. A lot of people say that. Ignorance is a very, very hard road to hoe. I can tell you that right now. In fact, the Bible tells us, Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So we need knowledge. Amen. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and truth will make you free. Woo! Man, I want to be free. How about you?
Yeah.
Well, it's the Word that makes us free. It's the truth that makes us free. But it's continuing in Him and in His Word that causes us to know the truth. And the truth then makes us free. 2 Peter 1:1 says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle, I'm reading out of New King James Version, of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, man, I can have a camp meeting right there. Man, I got the same faith Peter had. You ought to watch Peter. You know, we talk about Jesus. Well, watch Peter in the book of Acts. Watch him heal the sick. Watch him raise the dead.
Amen.
Peter did that. He did miracles himself. And he did it by faith. And the faith he had is the faith you and I have. He didn't have some kind of faith we don't have. He didn't have some supernatural. He had some faith we don't. But that was Peter. Man, you're talking about Peter. You can never be like Peter. We do that with Jesus, and we don't need to be doing it with Jesus, and we sure don't need to be doing it with Peter. Actually, we have the same spirit Jesus had. If the same spirit raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, He'll make alive your mortal body. There's not two spirits. There's just one spirit, and you have the same spirit Jesus had. Wow. Simon Peter, bondservant, apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. You say, well, I don't know if I got the kind of faith Peter had. Well, okay, you need to leave right now because I'm not preaching to you and he didn't write this to you. He's only writing this to those who have obtained like precious faith. Are y'all still out here? Okay, I guess you assume you have the same kind of faith, right? Okay. So he says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, plurality, man, he's believing there's a bunch of people who got it. How do we all get this kind of faith? Well, we were just, man, we were just sharp. We were smart. We were just cool. We just, you know, we were just, how? By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, wow. You mean it came with us being born again and being saved? It came with us being washed in the blood and being made right with God. Along with that new birth came this faith, this like precious faith. Wow. How many of you saved? You got the same kind of faith then, because you got this faith through salvation. You got it through the righteousness of God and of Jesus our Lord. I love that. Because you and I don't have our righteousness. We have His righteousness. Isn't that right? All of our righteousness is filthy rags. Having not, Paul said, mine own righteousness. What is that? 1 Peter 3:8, right in there. Having not mine own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which comes through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I was saved and you were saved, we took on God's righteousness. Correct? Biblically, scripturally, we're right in line here. This is what the Bible says. You will never go to heaven on your righteousness. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. You'll never go to heaven on your goodness or your merit. You need the goodness of God, the merit of God, the favor of God. I believe it was Don that said, Pastor Don Murphy said one night, the other night at the conference, we're not looking for fairness, we're looking for favor. Fairness, what's fair? We were all lost. And fairness said we're going to hell. But favor, Jesus came and favor came, and now we're going to heaven. Because of the favor of God. Not because we're good, because He's good. Not because we did something, because He did something. Not because I have my righteousness, no, because I have His righteousness. Isn't that true? I mean, that's what the Scripture says over and over. That's salvation 101. I mean, I'm going to heaven because I got the righteousness of God. Man, I love it. I just love thinking about it. I love thinking about this, and this blows everybody away. It blows me away, and I've said it 100 times if I said it once. If God were standing right here, He wouldn't be any more righteous than I am. I don't have my righteousness. I have His. That just almost sounds blasphemous, but it's the truth. There's no other way around it. You can't say it any other way. I don't have my righteousness. I have His.
Yes.
And if He were standing right here, He couldn't be any more righteous than I am, spiritually speaking. I know I'm in the flesh and the natural. I do things and I have to repent. But I'm telling you, spiritually speaking, born again man, new creature in Christ, created in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. That's what the Scripture says. The new man, not the old man. Put on the new man, which is created after righteousness and true holiness. That's what Paul tells the Ephesians. That new man has the righteousness of God. Whoa, that just blows me away. But it's the truth nonetheless. And you know what? It's a revelation we don't think about enough when it comes to loving people and living holy and doing right and laying hands on sick, miracles and signs and wonders. Immediately we revert back to our own worthiness. I'm just not that good. Whoa. We're not doing this because of your natural ability or natural merit or worthiness. We're doing what we do. We're serving God. We're loving. We're forgiven. We're laying hands on the sick. We're representing Jesus by the power of God that came to us and the like precious faith that He gave us that came through the new birth, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have the victory through Him that loves me. He always causes me to triumph through Christ. I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. Amen. Greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. Well, I just can't do that. Yes, you can. You can do whatever God says you can do because He's the one that's doing it through you. Oh, wow. Grace and peace be multiplied to you, second verse says. This is Peter talking. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge, through the knowledge, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You want peace? Quit reading the newspaper. You want peace? Quit watching the television. You want peace? It comes through the knowledge of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace, favor, that's what grace is. And peace, oh, peace, blessed, peace, heavenly, peace, godly, peace, the peace of Christ, hallelujah, the peace of Jesus, it comes through the knowledge of God and our Savior, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, the problem with us is when we challenge God, actually, when He asks us to do something, we bow up and we say, oh, I can't because we're still thinking in the natural. We're still thinking of our own ability outside of Christ. We're thinking of our own personality or our past sins or our natural lineage, our natural bloodline. Well, I'm just Noah Williams, or I'm just from East Texas, or I'm just, you know, this, or I'm just that, or I just got this education or that education, or I got this much money or that much money, or I don't have any talent. You're still thinking wrong. You got to get over into that new man. You got to get over into the knowledge of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Woo! Something happened when you got saved. Something happened that has eternal benefits. an eternal change took place in you. And really, our whole life here as a Christian boils down to finding out what that is about and living out that life and renewing our mind. Be ye not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2 tells us. Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Next verse says God's dealt to every man the measure of faith. We all have the same measure of faith. Romans 12:3 tells us that. So you and I, as we get in church, you know, we've got our slogan this year, 30-year anniversary, was, giving insight, 30 years of giving insight into God's Word about Jesus, obviously, because that's what we're about, empowering people with the good news of Jesus Christ so they can change their world. We've been given insight into God's Word. Insight. Now, we got outside down pretty pat. We don't have a lot of insight. We can see real good out here. We don't see real good inside. That's what insight is. It's, you can be farsighted, nearsighted. You can be outsighted. You can be insighted. And you get in the Word, you get insight. You find out who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Are you with me? And these eternal truths change your marriage. These eternal truths will change the way you raise your children. I tell you, they'll change your checkbook, too. They'll change your body when diseases come. They'll change circumstances, these truths. Woo! So, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge or through the knowledge or by the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue or power. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Where do we get that? Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. You are not alone. You are not ill-equipped or unequipped. You are not just not alone, but you are empowered also. God didn't ask you to go do something and not give you the ability to do it. In fact, He didn't send you off to do something by yourself. He goes with you. You know, I say this often. I read it somewhere. You know, God's not looking for people to do things for Him. He's looking for people to do things through them. It's not a matter of just you going forgiving. It's Him forgiving through you. It's not a matter of just you go loving someone. It's Him loving through you. Won't you let Him love that person through you? Why don't you let Him forgive that person through you? Why don't you let Him heal that person through you? Won't you lay your hands on them in Jesus' name? Pray for them. The Lord will work with you and confirm the Word with signs following. He will. In fact, you know, He says, that's a verse we quote often, John 14:12, where Jesus said, He said, "The works that I do shall you do also. And even greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father, that whatever you ask in my name, that will I do." That's a kind of funny transition, isn't it? It says, "The works that I do will you do, and even greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father, that whatever you ask in my name, that will I do." How's that? Well, He's doing it through us. Isn't that good? He's empowering us. You know, when you say, "I can't forgive someone," well, let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus can forgive someone? "Well, I just can't love that person." Well, do you think Jesus can love them? I couldn't heal anybody. I couldn't lay my hands on someone. Well, do you think Jesus can heal them? Won't you lay your hands on them in Jesus' name as His representative, as an ambassador of Christ, empowered by Him, and let Him heal them through you. And let Him love them through you. "I just don't think I could just, I don't think I can get rid of that sin. I don't think I can quit sinning that sin, that same old sin. Here I come again, Lord, help me with this sin. I just don't think I'll ever overcome." Do you think Jesus can overcome it? I think He can. I believe He can. I believe it's very plain. Jesus can overcome any sin. Well, why don't you let him overcome it through you? See, you can't be mean anymore. There's no excuses left. You can't use all those excuses. You got to quit being mean and rude and indignant. You got to work on that. I mean, come on. You know, if you slip, repent. But come on, overcome it. It's not a matter of just getting forgiven. It's a matter of overcoming it. God didn't write all this stuff so you could just get forgiven. Not to the Christian, not to the believer. He wrote this so you could overcome it, live right. Woo! 1 John 2 tells us, 1 John 2 says this. It says, first verse I believe it says, my little children, I write these things unto you that you sin not. Now, if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, he goes on, said Jesus Christ the righteous. If you sin. He's writing to Christians, to believers, so you can sin as a believer. You can do it. It is possible. But it's not God's will. Are you with me? If you sin, you can get forgiven. But really, all this is written to us as believers now that we're born again, now that we're saved. What are you going to do? You spend your whole life just getting saved every day? I'm already saved. I'm saved. I got saved when I accepted Jesus. I'm washed in the blood. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm learning how to live for God now. Now I'm growing and being conformed, or transformed, excuse me, not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewal of my mind. I'm conforming to the image of Christ. It's my destiny now to live for him. But it's only going to come through the knowledge of God. It's only going to come through the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I continue in his word, then I am his disciple, and I know the truth, and the truth makes me free. Free from hate, and free from sin, and free from all these things. Now see, that's the right way to teach that. The wrong way is to make a law out of all this and say, you know, how sorry and no good you are and worthless you are. We're all worms of the dust and we're just all old sinners saved by grace. No. Whoa. Watch your tenses. We were sinners. We are saved. We're not now sinners saved. We were sinners. We are now saved. Paul never writes to the sinners at Ephesus, or to the sinners at Rome, or to the sinners at, you know, at Galatia. He writes to the saints at Ephesus, to the saints at Rome, to the saints, to the saints, to the saints, to the saints. A sinner I ain't. I am a saint. You say, well, you're saying you don't sin? No, I didn't say that. I have to repent when I sin, and I'm working on that. But by the power of God, I don't have to. And the more I yield to God, the less I do. The only reason I would sin is if I didn't yield to God. Got lackadaisical, got a little unfocused, and got my eyes off him. And that happens sometimes. Are you with me? But I am a saint. I am actually a holy one. That's what the word saint means. If you want to look it up, it's hagios. H-A-G-I-O-S, the Greek word hagios. When you see the word Holy Spirit, it's the same word, holy. It's not a different word. So what we are is holy. We're the holy ones. We're not the lost ones. We're the holy ones. That's good. I don't have to be canonized. God bless the Catholics. I don't have to be canonized after I die. I don't have to be edified and all that stuff. I just need to get saved. Once you get saved, you become a saint. Amen? So, he has given us now as saints, because that's what we are, he's given us now by his divine power all things as a saint that pertain to life and to godliness through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, him, Jesus Christ, who called us by glory and virtue. Notice the fourth verse. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Man, hallelujah. His divine power has given us exceeding great and precious promises. See, living for God and serving God is a matter of faith. It's a matter of receiving the promise. It's not a matter of works. It's not a matter of earning. It's not a matter of merit. It's a matter of receiving what God offered. It's a matter of believing the promise. In fact, he says, by which have been given to us, by which? By this new birth, by this righteousness, by this knowledge of him, we've been given exceedingly great and precious promises. God said he would do this. We believe that. He said, I wish I could. Well, we already read that. You have like precious faith. He established that in the first verse. We all have the same kind of faith Peter had. So we have the faith to believe the promises. And the promise, by believing the promises, oh, hallelujah. By believing the promises, we can live the life. Because we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. And it's by trust and faith in the promises, and we've got faith, same kind of faith that Peter had. We got faith when we were made the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. And with that faith, we believe those exceeding great and precious promises. And by believing those great and precious promises, notice what it goes on to say, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. If you want to be godlike, nothing wrong with that at all. That's not blasphemous because we're supposed to be imitators of God. You know, I get tickled when people say, you know, when you talk about confession and saying the right thing, believing the words, well, I believe I'm healed in Jesus' name. They'll say things like, who do you think you are talking like God? I always want to say, well, who do you think you are talking like the devil? You only got a couple choices here. I think I'd rather talk like God than talk like the devil. I'm not God, but I sure am his child, and I'm supposed to imitate him. I'm supposed to forgive as Christ forgave. I'm supposed to love as Christ. I'm supposed to treat my wife as Christ loves the church. I mean, he's my pattern. He's my model, my mentor. He's my love and my leader. Amen. So by all means, we, by the divine nature of God, live the life. And how do we tap into the divine nature? By the exceeding great and precious promises that he's given us. Well, how do we receive those great and precious promises? By the faith that he's given us to trust and believe them. So you have to look the Bible in the eye and say, I believe that. God says, I can do this. In the name of Jesus, by faith, I can. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. I can be like Jesus. I can love like him. I can forgive like him. I can lay hands on the sick like him. I can live like him. I can do it in Jesus' name by these promises that he's given me. I partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I can overcome the corruption that is in this world through lust by this divine nature that has been given to me as I believe the promises. Woo! I can in Jesus' name. Don't ever say you can't. Don't say you can't do what God says you can do. I wish I could. No, you can do what God says you can do. You need to enrich yourself, and you need to increase in the knowledge of God in your life. You need to go over the scriptures and the promises is what you need to do. You need to get more up on who you are on the inside than who you are on the outside. You need to put on the new man, not the old man. You need to put off that old man. You need to put on that new man, that new creature in Christ Jesus. You need to be well-versed and wise can't think of another word. There's another word I was looking for. Well-versed and wise in the things of God, or wise to that which is good and simple to that which is evil. That's what the Scripture says. But I don't think we're really up so much on what God has done in our lives. We're real up on what we've done in our lives. We're more aware of what we've accomplished and not so aware of what he accomplished. And we identify more with what we've done than we identify with what he's done. You see, Paul even said that. He said, man, he said, I was the least of all the apostles, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I love that, how he caught himself in 1 Corinthians 15:10, where he said that. He began to talk about how that Jesus was seen by many apostles, and he said, and last of all, as one, you know, out of time, he chose me, who am least, not even worthy to be called apostle. And he said, but I am what I am by the grace of God. I love that. Now, that's who I really am, and that's who you really are. You're not who you are in that mirror that you look at in the mornings. You're not who everybody else says you are. You're not the sum of your deeds and your sins, hello, and even your accomplishments. You are who you are by the grace of God. And I can tell you who you are by the grace of God. You're saved by the grace of God. You're a Christian by the grace of God. You're a saint by the grace of God. You're not lost by the grace of God. You're not going to hell by the grace of God. You're not a sinner by the grace of God. You're not mean by the grace of God. You're not hateful by the grace of God. By the grace of God, are you with me? You're saved. Now, you got to make a decision and find out who you are. I think the church goes through an identity crisis. We are who we are by the grace of God. Now, what has the grace of God done for us? We are what God has done to us, through us, in us. We're not what we have done. We're what He has done. I can love. I can live right. I can stay faithful to my wife. I can in Jesus' name. I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me, because by the promises of God that He's made, I have become a partaker of the divine nature. It is God's nature to love. It's God's nature to live right and holy. Be ye holy, for the Lord your God is holy. Well, that nature I've taken on as I believe those great, exceeding great, precious promises. I'm aware of those great and precious promises through the knowledge of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And because I'm saved, I have like precious faith to believe them. You have been empowered with all things that pertain to life and godliness, to live this life, to be like Jesus. You and I can do it because He gave us what we needed to do it. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves, Paul says, but our sufficiency is of God. He has made us able to be partakers of this grace. Woo! You want to spend all day and all night on that, chewing on that, because that's the revelation that we've got to get a hold of. Paul said it this way. Turn to Galatians. Just helping you? Y'all awful quiet. I'm just assuming you're getting it. Paul said it this way, and you'll know this right off the bat. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. I don't frustrate the grace of God, King James says. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ has died in vain. I'm not who I am but what I did. I'm who I am but what He did. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Woo! Man, that's just good stuff, isn't it? That's identity. Identification. Those are big words. Identification, you know, substitution. Jesus substituted for us. Now I'm identified with Him. Huge words. But Christianity is about identification. It's about identifying with Christ. God sees me. He sees me through Jesus. I am in Christ. Isn't that right? And I can do this, and you can do this, and we can do this. And we've been doing it for 30 years here, you know, maybe however imperfectly, but that's been our goal, and that's what we've been doing. And year by year, I believe we're getting better and better at it. And if we, you know, Jesus tarries, we'll get better and better and better, because we're doing it by His power and by His faith and by His righteousness. Hallelujah.